Welcome to the Medicine Human Podcast, where we grow, hydrate, purify, and heal ourselves on all levels through compassionate and conscious conversations as we together ride this wave of humanity awakening. I am Ivy Rose, and I share these medicinal, cozy conversations from the perspective of a medicine woman, colon hydrotherapist, and living medical-grade water steward. I wish to help you become the medicine that you seek in your body and life, and that you will leave each of these episodes differently than you came. So let us sow the seeds of our inner and outer transformation together as we anchor and flow into our highest timeline. And so it is. Aho. Hello, Luke, and welcome back to the podcast, my friend. It has been a good, really long, hot minute since you and I were together, and I am absolutely so happy that you were here with me today. It is an honor and a pleasure to hold space for this incredible conversation that is coming through. How are you today, Luke?
Oh, thank you so much for that intro. I'm doing great. I'm very, I'm in a good place. I'm in a very, very good state of mind. Physically feeling strong and very excited for the future. Got a lot of things going on, and I'm very stoked that we're doing this again. The last conversation that we had about TSW and healing and all that stuff went so good, and I'm excited to talk about things outside of that today, which is awesome.
Oh, absolutely. And so for all of our listeners, of course, like everybody, check out the show notes. You're going to find all of the links to connect with Luke and to receive his magic and medicine. And if anybody wants to check in with episode number 6 of the Medicine Human Podcast, and it's also on our Holy Sacred Shit Podcast, episode number 6, Luke and I think it was almost, more than 3.5 years ago, we dove deep into our collective journey of topical steroid withdrawal. So that's how we connected years ago, because we have been through the earthly hell of a pharmaceutical injury together. And it's a really, really good episode if you guys want to know more of our background together. Yeah.
Jeez, so that was 2019.
I think it was. I think this September, will be 4 years ago. And it's been quite a journey, right?
Yeah. Geez.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Flies.
Yeah. And I've had a number of people always asking me, like, when's Luke coming back? So everybody,
well, here I am.
Luke is back. And great things is that he's, I'm also going to be on his podcast, his new podcast soon. So we'll have another really good conversation for you guys, more centered around the topical steroid withdrawal conversation and where we're at now. But Luke, do you want to share a little bit about like our past and, you know, what we've been through and what the whole TSW thing is, just to quickly touch on it for the people that are still newer to me and new to you?
Yeah, so a brief recap of what TSW is. It stands for topical steroid withdrawal, and it's a iatrogenic condition, so a condition that is caused solely and strictly by the use of medication. Medication caused this condition in our lives, and the steroids that we use were either prescribed or over-the-counter. I used over-the-counter stuff. Many people used prescribed steroids, and there's different classes of steroid strengths, but what happens is people put it on their body to treat eczema, psoriasis, atopic dermatitis, or any other skin condition. And when you put that on your skin absorbs it. And as it absorbs it, it gets into your bloodstream. As it gets into your bloodstream, it gets into your nervous system. It starts sending mixed signals to your body. Your body starts producing cortisol and the necessary chemicals that your body uses to regulate itself. And your body becomes dependent. It goes, hey, wow, we're getting this stuff from this cream. We don't need to produce it anymore. So it stops producing these chemicals. Then your body goes haywire. And then you become dependent on these creams. Once you realize you're dependent, it's a little bit too late at that point. And so you stop and you go into a withdrawal effect. Then your body wants to get all of this stuff out because it's like, wait a minute. We're not getting the chemicals that we need from this cream anymore. What do we do? And so it goes berserk, starts producing excess amounts of skin. That process is very itchy. It's very uncomfortable. You don't know when you're supposed to sleep. There's no melatonin, serotonin, oxytocin, stuff releasing at the wrong times of day. And it is hell on earth. It's hell inside your body. And it is a very itchy existence, a very painful existence, a very mentally challenging existence. And I wouldn't wish it upon anybody. And that is what topical steroid withdrawal is. And we are four plus years into it. At least I am. I started March 18th, 2019, and it's 4+ years and a couple of months. And they say that it naturally will work itself out between 3 to 5 years of time. And there's not really much you can do. We've both been very adventurous in our healing methodologies, and we've both taken it very seriously in our health journey. But, you know, time is, proving to be the most effective factor.
Absolutely. Thank you for a brief introduction to what we have been through and what really so many other people go through. And so for any of our listeners right now that might be using topical steroids, or have your family that is, or friends, please do some education on it, because it'll take away years of your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's very,
no,
very serious.
No one will refund you for those years.
No, nobody's liable. Just, you know, just us and the human journey. So yeah, I think we're about 51 months out of it right now. I keep track of month to month because it's ridiculous. I'm feeling pretty okay at this stage. It's been a hell of a journey, but here we are. How are you doing with it at this point, Luke?
At this point, I would say, like, considering the whole journey, I'm doing pretty well. My forearms and elbows get pretty itchy. That's like the worst part. I tend to itch those really bad at night. And then also my lymph nodes on my neck area get really swollen at night too. So that gets really itchy and a little bit uncomfortable. But overall, I mean, considering the places I have been in the TSW journey, I'm doing very well. Mentally I'm a lot stronger, and I'm able to just push past it. And I just accept that, you know, if I'm going to work out, I'm going to experience a little bit of pain and uncomfortability. And before, I'd kind of use that as an excuse not to work out, or not to go do this thing, or not to be, you know, part of this social party or engagement or activity. But now I'm just like, you know what? It's just a hurdle I got to jump over first before I get in the game of life. Trying to step back into the game of life has been an interesting challenge mentally, because over those 4 years of us healing and focusing on ourselves, I've developed some habits of isolation and habits of focusing on me and borderline selfishness and antisocial. You know, inclinations of just like not being part of things anymore. And so trying to plug back in is a very interesting experience that I never anticipated being a symptom or a byproduct of TSW.
Oh, that's so well said, right?
Yeah,
I feel you on the isolation and even the social anxiety that comes with it, the like living constantly with PTSD in your skin, in your physical body. And then just, it really touches everything in life, right? From our like emotional self, our relationship with self, our relationship with body, our interpersonal relationships, our sexual relationships, like really everything is touched by this. Hell of a journey.
Oh yeah. Hell of a journey. Yeah. So now it's just, I'm trying to make it an afterthought, and it is something I just have to deal with, but it's no more than just like, you know, like trying to operate life with a cast on your arm. Like, you know, your arm's broken, but you can still kind of do things. So like it's doesn't make things easier, but I'm not going to let it stop me anymore. So I really just try and take on that mentality every day and go, all right, it's acceptance, I guess. Yeah. This is what you got to deal with. It's just your plot in life right now. You'll get over it. Just keep moving.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, at this stage for me, I do find that it has, this is hard to say, it's served me well. You know, now looking back, it's grown me in so many ways. It's strengthened me in so many ways. I mean, it's also damaged me in so many ways. But, you know, the human journey of being able to find that silver lining and to grow through it, right? I'm sure that for you, it's cultivated so much knowledge. It's cultivated so many different self-care practices, right? Yeah. So much awareness of the dangers and unintended consequences of things that we may do to ourselves, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So anyways, would you like to quickly tell us about your podcast that's launching?
Yeah. So, you know, I've gotten so much benefit and you know, knowledge and friendships and relationships from the TSW community in the social media arena, especially Instagram, you know, just sharing healing modalities and stories and connections there has been great. I wanted to figure out how I could still give back and be part of the community, but not so much add to the itchy trauma stories. I like to put a positive spin on it because it just helps me mentally to be positive. So I created a podcast called What is TSW? And it's a website also. And we're going to have some t-shirts and some hats. And I made these hats that say, What is TSW? And every time I wear it, it always sparks a conversation because no one knows what it is. And so the podcast is essentially aimed at people who are using steroids, but not yet addicted to them. So I want to scare people away from TSW by telling the stories of people in TSW, if that makes any sense. So that's the idea. We've recorded 6 episodes so far. I'm very excited about it. It's going to be launching very soon. I didn't realize how much editing work it takes, like, you know, coordination of getting a guest, and like, there's a lot to it, but I'm having a great time doing it. And I love hearing a different aspect of what TSW is and how it affects people's lives. Like, we've had Itsan on, we have had Brianna Banos on, we've had Lynette and Sean on, and we've had Cara Ward on, and like, hearing not like, oh, the typical, oh, it's itchy, it sucks, like the unseen consequences and unseen effects of TSW. So we talk about it all, talk about relationships. We're going to talk about, intimacy, dating. Like, I got a lot of topics in mind, so I can't wait to have you on.
Oh yeah. No, it's going to be so good. I love that you took the internal guidance within yourself to create this. I think that there's going to be, I mean, I'm sure that there already is so much value in you creating this podcast. And for our listeners, as soon as you do have this live, I will update the show notes of this episode so that people can find your podcast through the show notes right now in this episode. And the episode that we're going to be doing together, just to give people a little peek into it, we're going to be talking about... Oh, we're going to be talking about me actually going through topical steroid withdrawal twice in my life, because the first time I thought it was lymphoma. And nobody told me it was TSW. So I healed myself out of it and then unknowingly, ignorantly put myself into it again. So I've been through TSW 2 times in my life. And also it has contributed to the dissolution of 2 different marriages in my life. So we're going to be diving deep into that and also explore how that story mirrors some of your own story and journey as well, right?
Yeah. That's a great little preview. I was going to say, don't give away too much.
Oh, did I do too much?
No, that's perfect. Okay. That's perfect. I love it. Yeah. No, our journeys parallel each other, especially in the first part. And you know, I mean, I only been through TSW once. But yeah, I'm excited for our show.
It's going to be great. So anyways, today, I'm so happy for this conversation. I feel like there's going to be so much value and medicine in this conversation for our listeners, for both men and women. And yeah, I'm so grateful to have you on the show to showcase and share your journey and the incredible work that you're doing within yourself, but also the space that you're holding for men. So tell us a bit. Well, I mean, first, maybe to tell us who are you, Luke? Who are you and what do you do and why?
Yeah. So my name is Luke Jacobsma and I live out here in Huntington Beach. I'm 39 years old and I'm in a new relationship, and I run a company called Mannequin Models and Talent. That's my full-time job. So I've been doing that since I've been a fitting model, which is who my company represents. My company's a modeling agency. We represent fitting models and print models. And I started fitting myself in 2004 with PacSun. And that means I basically try on clothes to make sure that they fit properly. I'm the perfect average medium sized guy. So clothes fit me generally well, and if they fit me, most likely they'll fit the mass majority of customers for a medium guy for PacSun, for Volcom, for Hurley, for Levi's, for Rip Curl, all those kinds of brands. And so there's a bunch of them in SoCal. So I started trying on clothes and just I got really good at it and I give great feedback. And so I started doing that full time. And then in 2009, I launched Mannequin Models and Talent. Became an agency and started representing friends and getting other models underneath me. And that's been going great. And so I'm hitting 20 years next year and I still work with the first client I ever booked. So I'm very proud of that moment of working with the first client I ever booked. And then 20 years later, I haven't missed a week with them. So I get booked every week with my clients. And then that's been great. But I know there's more to my life than just giving feedback on how clothes can fit better. So I was looking for more impact. As you go through life, you know, your 20s are different than your 30s, and I'm approaching level 4. I'm turning 40 this year, and I'm thinking in the future. I'm thinking of legacy. I'm thinking how I want to be remembered and what my imprint is on this world and this planet. And it's more than just saying the sleeve length is too short or it's too tight or the buttons don't work. So I started investing into myself and joining some coaching programs and mentorships and masterminds in the last 2.5 years and invested pretty heavily into these things. And I learned this whole coaching world. And a couple of years ago, I opened a CrossFit gym and I owned a CrossFit for a while and I coached a lot there, but that was more physical. But this coaching that I'm talking about is more entrepreneurial skills, social skills, emotional skills, development of yourself and looking at the inner man. And I just became like obsessed with it. And so I started learning how all these different coaches and how these different programs work and started accumulating all these different techniques and skills and ways of doing life. And I recently came to this conclusion that all these guys were teaching me their game, their way of living, their process. And it wasn't until just about a month ago that I realized, well, what is Luke's process? How does Luke want to do it? And what's the game that I want to play in this life? And why am I here? Instead of letting these guys tell me why they're here and me following them, where's my path? And I started looking for my path and I realized that I hadn't started cutting it down yet. And so I decided to create this men's movement, this adventure group, this coaching program in OC called the Rebel Project. And we just launched this week, and I'm reaching out to as many guys as I can to let them know that this is happening. This is where I'm going. And I'm looking for men who need clarity in who they are, what they want out of life, and knowing if they have what it truly takes to get there. And are they willing to take the journey? And then what does it look like when they get there? So those five things are what this whole program is built on, because I don't want to teach these guys my way, because I'm just like all the coaching programs that I was in. I want to teach these guys how to find their own path. And it's interesting because, you know what, guys never stop and ask for directions, and they also never admit that they're lost. So the marketing of this is actually pretty challenging, because it's like, hey, I've got what you need because I know where you're at, because I've looked lost and I've been lost just like you. So I see you out there. Here's the direction. Here's the sign that says go this way. Like I have what you need, but us men, we're a little more stubborn. We don't like to admit that we need help. So the marketing is going to be an interesting journey, but that is the movement that I'm starting. It's called the Rebel Project. You can visit the website at therebelproject.org right now. And yeah, I'm excited. My first event is going to be June 17th, which is Saturday here in Orange County.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Congratulations, number one, on bringing these soul gifts manifest, you know, absolutely incredible, and so necessary right now, you know, so necessary for, I'm sure, so many men. Would you share with us the Rebel Project? Why and how did you name that? tell me what's behind it, because I know it's going to be good.
Yeah, so I've always felt a little different, just. From the day I was born, I was raised in a very loving family. I'm the oldest of four boys, grew up in the country. Parents always took us to church. And we were raised to be very well behaved, very obedient, speak when spoken to, finish your plate, do what you're told type of household. And that works great. And I have so much gratitude and appreciation for it. But I've never been like that. There's always been a resistance in me to that. And I don't think that those two things are ever at odds with each other. But if you don't know how to cultivate or feed or nourish a rebel spirit, which is what I feel I am, you can clash. And so I immediately knew that I had to go my own way. And I was always going to go my own way. But when you're in an environment where they want you to stay on the lines, it just doesn't suit you well. So I have left, soon as I graduated high school, I left home and went to college as far away as I could get from home. Not that I had any problems with home. I just knew that I needed my own way. So I went out to San Diego, which is 6.5 hours away from home. And I started living my life and realized that the world is a lot different than the beautiful container and protected family unit that my family had created. And so I got out there, wasn't quite prepared for how life was rolling me around. I enjoyed every minute of it, but I just kind of was pushed wherever the white water was going, wherever the tide was going, I would flow with it. And I convinced myself that I was a really good surfer and I would catch waves and I could just surf everywhere I wanted to go. But I really was getting so far away from who I truly was because I just wanted to express this freedom, right? I'm free. Now I can do whatever I want. And I got free and I didn't have it. I didn't have an anchor or a foundation or a home. And so early in 2004, I was living in North LA in this place called Tahunga. And I wanted to start this men's group back then called Righteous Rebels. And I created this double R logo and I was like, it's a group for men and they're going to be leaders who do their own thing, but they're going to be like really connected to themselves and really connected to God. And like, we're going to be righteous rebels. We're going to do what we want, but we're going to do it the right way. And so, but I was like 20. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I just thought it was cool. So I didn't know how to get that started. It just was a logo that I drew on my notebooks all the time. And then here we are 20 years later, and I'm finally doing what I call the Rebel Project. And that's kind of the origin of the name, is that in all these coaching programs that I've been in the last 2 years, I've been in 8 different coaching programs and masterminds, and I've seen them all be kind of like cookie cutter copies of each other. And I was like, there's no originality here. Like, everyone's just going, oh, this works, let's do it and try to make some money. Oh, this works, let's do it and try to change some lives. Oh, this works. And I was like, but where's I'm a musician also. So I'm like, where's the artistic influence? Where's the creativity in it? So that was the kind of the catalyst for me going, how can I do this my own way? Well, like, well, I got to be a rebel. And it's also like a little bit like my alter ego. Like, I got to like, I just have to know that I'm going to be the only one marching this path, possibly for a while, until I build the revolution. And that's like our tagline. We are the revolution is here, the Rebel Project. So that is the story of the name.
Oh, it's good. It's good. And it's beautiful that seed was planted in you 20 years ago and that it incubated and incubated and incubated until clearly right timing, right? Because obviously that the journey was necessary.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about your journey.
Oh, the journey. Oh, the journey. The journey. So where do you start? I mean, I feel like I had like a really good life. I was married before and I met my ex-wife in 2006, and my roommate and I were going to a party and we didn't want to show up without girls. So he invited a couple of girlfriends that he had and they came over and I ended up meeting one of them, and I was like, wow, like this girl's beautiful. Like there's, I'm interested in her. And I got her number that night, and She usually doesn't give her number out, but she gave it to me that night, and we made a date to go out the next day. And she came over, and I went to Vaughn's, and I bought like 4 different types of bread, 5 different types of cheeses, 3 different types of meat, all the condiments, everything you got, basically whatever you can get on a Subway sandwich, I bought. And I put it all on my table, and she came over. She's like, "What the hell is this?" I was like, "Well, I don't know anything about you. I figured we'd make some sandwiches and go talk." So we made sandwiches, and we went up on this like this bluff out in Tuhunga up in the like the mountains, and we just sat on some beach chairs and ate our sandwiches and made a picnic, and we talked and got to know each other. And then we just started hanging out every single day since. We were friends for 8 months. It ended up asking her out to be my girlfriend. We dated for 5 years. I asked her to be my wife. We got engaged. We were engaged for less than a year, got married in 2012, started a business together, ran that together. And then 5 years into marriage, things got a little shaky. I thought everything was great, but apparently our communication and connection was not as strong as I had thought it was. And it dismantled due to a little imbalance of holding up vows. Let me just say that to keep it politically correct. But she broke my heart, and I was devastated, and I thought that I had found my forever. And when the circumstance happened and I approached her about it, I saw a lack of remorse, and that really broke me. And I also saw a little attempt to hide it, and that broke me even more. And so I filed for divorce, and I left, and I cut it cold turkey. And I cut it cold turkey with everyone that we knew, because a lot of people kind of knew what was going on. And I was the last, I felt like I was the last to know. So my heart was broken, and I moved down to Orange County by myself, starting over. And I didn't realize at the time how pivotal that moment was going to be in my life, because when you're in this shit storm, you don't know you're in this shit storm. And so I knew it was devastating, and I knew it was life changing, but I didn't realize how much it was going to impact my psyche and my psychology of who I was and my identity, because I really enjoyed being a husband. And I really enjoyed being a provider, and I really enjoyed having a partner and being in a partnership. I know that role really, really well. Mm-hmm. And that was all taken away from me. So I immediately went into victim mentality. And this was something completely new for me. I didn't like before that, I was cooperative, collaborative, creative. Like we were everything was done together in my opinion. But now I'm alone, and it's somebody's fault. And I was looking everywhere else. It was this situation. It was her, it was him, it was all these different things. And so I spent a couple of months, actually probably a couple of years, going through this victim mentality and realizing, you know, I was faultless. It was never my fault, right? So I had to like heal. And the way I tried to cope with divorce was kind of like, you get that revenge body, you know, you gotta make them feel like they made the biggest mistake ever. So I just went into full self-care mode. I was getting a massage every week. I was getting like manicures, getting my hands like all nice. And I was working out, and I was eating healthy. I was walking on the beach, getting super tan. I was wearing the nicest clothes. Like I was like going very shallow with it, just trying to make the appearance that I'm not hurting. No, I'm fine. You fucked up. I'm fine. So that was like my coping mechanism of going through that divorce. And I decided also really early on that I was like, you know what? I don't want to be sad. I'm not going to deal with this. Like it is what it is. And I just tried to ignore and suppress it, very similar to what steroids do to eczema and any skin condition. But I tried to suppress my feelings, and I told myself that all I'm going to do is just do whatever makes me happy. So I decided to start riding bikes and get plugged into the BMX and bike community and moto community down here. And I told myself I had one rule. If it doesn't make me happy, I'm not going to do it. Period. And so I started doing that. And if it made me happy, I did it. And if it didn't, I didn't do it. And if it didn't make me happy, I'd avoid it or run from it and go find something that made me happy. So I was always staying in this happy place, but you can't hide from what's under the rug forever.
No.
It eventually just collects more dust. It gets bigger and more nasty. And eventually it's a bigger problem. Like, you know, just a little bit of water in the wall, on the wall is not a big deal if you wipe it away quick. But if you leave it there, it turns into mold. And then if it turns into mold, it turns into structural damage. And structural damage turns into, remodeling. And it's like, it can turn into a bigger issue if you ignore it. So I learned that the hard way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want me to keep going?
yeah, of course. And truly, thank you for how honestly and vulnerably you're sharing. You know, like, I feel like there's so much value in the honesty of subjects like this, you know, and sharing what you've been through and all of the different facets, right? All of the different ways that it plays into our story and evolves. And yeah, I feel you very entirely on all of this. So for that, like, internal mold growing, or, you know, however we want to put that, with what was brushed underneath the rug, what was swept underneath the rug for you. And so you're doing, right, these external things to create your own happiness and tap into your happiness and self-care, you know, as shallow as the self-care may seem. Of course, there's also deep value in it. But how long was that journey to get you to the point where it's like, okay, I got to open up my eyes really, really wide, but look inside with very wide eyes and open ears for the inside of me? How long was that journey? Because I know, like, you know, you and I in our friendship, we started bonding over some of that stuff like years ago. So,
yeah.
I remember, you know, you were at a different place then than you are now. I was too. But how long was that journey until you were really able to look inside and be like, oh man.
Well, if I had it my way, I probably would have ignored it the rest of my life. But I got divorced in 2017, April 2017. It wasn't finalized until March 2018. It took about 11 months to get through and finally be official. Mm-hmm. So like I told you, I was self-care mode. I was working out. I was hanging out. I was having a good time. Like, I was a good time to be around. Like, all my friends enjoyed it. Like, I attracted some really, like, high energy, positive people in my life. And I was like, I love life. I really did. Like, I created, like, putting myself in that happy, like, if it doesn't make me happy, I'm not going to do it. Like, by having that mentality, it really did create an amazing lifestyle down here where I had friends calling me and, like, I was very connected and I had activities that I loved and I was living in passion and I was laughing all the time. Like, I was loving life. But like you said, like, April 2017 is when I, like, pretty much moved out, and then I had to deal with the divorce. So as soon as the divorce was over in 2018, like, that year after the divorce, immediately from 2017 to 2018, I would probably say was one of the most fun and, like, best years I've had in the last 15 or 20 years. Like, it was one of the best years of my life. And then the divorce was finalized, and so I was like, okay, now it's, like, officially over. But I still had some payments I had to make for a couple of years to, like, there was, like, a settlement thing, and that sucked. But so then, soon as that great year was over, the divorce was finalized, my skin started to deteriorate.
Were you already in TSW at all?
No.
Like, during your marriage?
So I had itchy legs. I had itchy legs. And so from 2015 to 2018, like, I had food sensitivities and like mild allergies. That was it. I had no idea that it was TSW at the time. And then at night, my legs would get itchy when I'd like get dressed for bed, my legs would get itchy. So, but other than that, 2017 to 2018, I had zero skin symptoms, zero allergy symptoms, nothing.
Wow.
I felt invincible. So divorce gets finalized and I've got about a year where my skin starts to break down. My body starts to break down. My health starts to break down. So this is where the mold underneath the rug is starting to surface. And so I told you, if I had my way, I would have stayed in that happy place the whole time. I loved it there. But TSW had other plans, and it's very you know, I don't think it's just TSW. I think it's combined with the emotional state. And it's like, hey, dude, you got some stuff you need to deal with. We're going to bring it to the surface. And you know how I was like, I was working out, looking good. I was making sure I was tan. I was looking good. On the surface, I was painting this beautiful picture. But TSW said, hey, dude, we're going to take that surface shit away from you and we're going to make you deal with the stuff underneath the rug. You ready? Here's TSW. Yeah. And so that just robbed me of any surface level bullshit I was trying to tell myself. And it was a tough pill to swallow. Going into TSW, I still had that invincible mindset. I got this. My life is great. I'm going to overcome this. And whatever. I'm just going to do whatever makes me happy, and I'm going to heal this in 6 months. That was my claim. I think everyone laughed at me when I got into TSW, like, because we all have that mentality. But but TSW ripped away my health and took away my vanity. And being a fit model, I had a lot of identity tied into that. So I had this identity tied into being a partner, being a husband. And so now I created this happy loop going on, happy life going on. And then as a fit model, I have eyes on me all the time. I'm trying on clothes. I'm supposed to like look a certain type of way for a certain type of customers. And now TSW is literally peeling my skin off my face 3 times a day, and my arms are bleeding. My neck is stiff, and it's ruining my exterior. And so now I'm really got no place to look. You can't paint a turd. You know, it just doesn't look any better. It's still a turd. And so like my face, just is my body, it looks like shit. And I feel disgusting because I based everything on the exterior. And so now I'm forced to look inward and find out who I truly am. But I don't know. I don't know. I'd refuse to look at it because like my divorce took away my identity as a husband and my purpose as a provider. And then what I'd love to do was taken away because now I don't have the ability to ride bikes or hang out with my friends anymore because my skin is just like extremely painful. I look like, you know, a flaky biscuit that just got out of the oven. And, you know, my work is also threatened. So I had a hard look in the mirror, and I did not like what I saw. I didn't know who the hell I was, and I didn't really know where to start building this person. So I was kind of at a loss, and that's where the darkness came into my life with like TSW. Cause it's like, well, shit, what do I do now? You don't know who you are. You don't have a body that you're proud of or that you like. You don't have a partner or somebody who loves you or is going to support you. So what are you going to do? And it took me a long, long time to figure out who I was. I would say I went through TSW 2 years, and TSW is all consuming in your life. And so I had to focus on healing, and it wasn't just physical healing that I needed to focus on. It was deep heart wounds, soul healing that I needed to focus on. And you and I have had great conversations about this, deep conversations about healing the heart, healing the soul, healing the body, healing the mind, healing all of it. And so it's like, yeah, we're taking shots of apple cider vinegar and like turmeric and stuff, but we're also like trying to like deep breathe and get our hearts to calm and like all of that. And so there's a lot of education and humbling of myself that I needed to go through TSW. And so yes, it was hell. And yes, it was the worst fire that I've ever walked through. And I'm almost to the end of it. But, I don't think I would have ever dealt with those deeper issues if it wasn't for TSW, to be honest. Like I said, I would have ignored it and just been happy Luke all the time. And I've still tried to bring positivity to TSW. If you follow my TSW journey, I've always tried to like bring a different spin on things. But yeah, so that made me really deal with like, wow, like how has this divorce really affected me? How is this heartbreak really affected me? And I started to learn about myself, like, what do I do when I feel rejected? Like, I felt extreme rejection from my divorce, extreme hurt from my divorce. And so I learned that my way of dealing with it is I either nosedive to the bottom and I try and crash into the ground and knock myself out so I don't feel it anymore. And so like there was a lot of drug use and a lot of like, you know, just inappropriate behavior on my end, trying to numb myself or black out from the feeling. And so learning that about myself, I go, well, that's not who I want to be. That's not what I want to do. How can I do this differently? So then I decided to fight. I'm going to fight my way back to the top. So, but then you realize, well, you've been in a destructive life path and a destructive life pattern. You don't have the strength, ability, or knowledge to fight. So first you feel like you're fighting blind. Then you feel like you have no strength or ability and you're fighting like you're just fighting out of your weight class. So then you question your dedication. You question your commitment, your conviction. Do you have conviction? Like, what are you made of? So then you have to question everything about your life. So you're like, you know, I feel like I got to start from a blank slate, which was scary, but liberating at the same time. Is this all making sense? Are you following? Am I just blabbering at this point?
No. I am enthralled. I am honestly, I'm mesmerized by your story. You know, like me knowing what the journey of TSW is, you know, biologically, physiologically, emotionally, spiritually, but to hear your take on it and your journey of it as a man, you know, as a man going through a divorce, as a man who you're having your, as you said, like your vanity basically obliterated, you know, you having already had created this happy life, this happy Luke, all, you know, your friendships and your passions and everything. And then being in a place where you are so physically, like it's going through TSW, it's debilitating. Like it is on all ways, you can use the word, it's a disability. You know, it's a disability of the major organ of the skin, right? As well as the nervous system and everything. So like to hear your journey through that, but as a man, you know, even what you were just explaining of, you know, you got to like fight through it and then realizing we can't even fight through it and really finding out like, what are you made of when physically, emotionally, and spiritually you become beyond depleted? You know, like we became so damaged in this process, but in a way of needing to rebuild ourselves while we don't even have the ingredients or the building blocks to rebuild ourselves at time. You know, it's a very paradoxical thing going through this. For me to hear your journey as a man going through this, right? Because my experience going through it is different as a woman, of course. So no, I'm with you. Everything that you're saying for me is amazing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, to pick it back up, like I hit this point where I didn't know if I wanted to continue being who I was because I didn't really, that was all ripped away from me. So, and that was a hard pill for me to swallow too, is because who I was not attached to Luke. It was attached to external circumstances and attached to other people who gave me my purpose, who gave me my position or role as a partner. So, wow, to have my identity be attached to something that I'm not in control of, that's a fucking scary thought. So who is Luke and how does Luke hold on to his identity? Like, where's the core of Luke and how does Luke get rooted into himself and not rooted into something else? Like, there's this like a Marvel movie called Venom, and Venom is like this black, like tar type creature. Yeah. And he attaches to any host. And when he attaches to that host, he kind of consumes them. And I kind of felt like that was Luke up until the middle of TSW, is Luke would attach to a wife. Luke would attach to a label as an entrepreneur. Luke would attach to a group or an activity. But Luke wasn't attached to himself. Yeah. It was like there was two versions. There was like an ethereal like spirit of Luke, and then there was Luke like in the body, and they were not aligned. They were not connected. And so somewhere in TSW, about 2.5 years in, I started to realize this, but I had no idea how to pair the two together. and bring it back. So Luke was not attached to all these things. And so I became very disconnected on the surface. So I a lot of my friends will tell you, like, Luke just kind of like checks out, he gets into his own world. And it's kind of like, I'm just like, I kind of felt like my body was just like a carcass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, this is like, you're in your body, but you're not in your body, and your body's in the world, but you're not there. And, you know, a lot of my friends are like, dude, like Luke, like they had a hard time connecting with me. I had a hard time connecting. Plus I'm just pissed off because like the body that I have looks like shit, feels like shit, operates like shit. And then who I was, like, I didn't want to be in this body. So that venom Luke, that ethereal Luke was always trying to be somewhere else. And usually he would go to the past, or usually he'd go to the future, and the future would either create anxiety, the past would create regret. Why wasn't he just coming into me in this moment, in the present moment? Well, the present moment sucked. So it's like, how do I deal with this? I existence sucked in all forms, future, past, and present. And so I had to surrender and accept that that's what it was. And I hit this moment in TSW where I was felt like the pain was too much to deal with, and I considered ending it all, right?
Yeah.
But I realized how selfish that would have been, and that there had to be another way. So instead of looking at what I didn't want, I started to focus on what I wanted. And I wanted connection. I wanted purpose. I wanted identity. I wanted Luke back. And so I started looking for that. And not long after that decision to put the gun away, I discovered a coaching group. And a friend of mine had went, and he started posting on Instagram. And I was like, man, that looks cool. What is this? He's like, oh man, it's for males. It's for entrepreneurs. If you have a business, dude, you should go. Like, I was like, I just went, I loved it. I signed up. And I'm like, oh, cool. So I went to this event in February, 2021, 2 years after I started TSW, like where I'm at this like very crux point of my life. And, I walk into this thing, and we go through this 2.5-day experience, and they challenged me physically. They challenged me mentally. They put me to shame financially, showing me that I just didn't know what was going on in my business or my financial life. And they showed me that I'm not the only one who has this gap between yourself and who you want to be. And so I was like, wow, this is great. And they go, hey, well, you know, if you want to sign up, you want to roll with us for a year, it's going to be $75,000. And they had asked us like to close our eyes and to go, does this make sense for you? Do you feel like this is something that you want to do? And if so, please raise your hand. And without even thinking, my left hand shoots up in the air and it's like, I want to sign up. And my mind is going, you stupid motherfucker. You don't even have like $75,000. You don't even pay yourself that much in a year. Like, that's more than your salary, dude. Like, put your hand back down. But in that split second that my hand shot up, like, I had already told you, like, I felt like the light of Luke was flickering out. Like, you know how like a pilot light on a oven's about to like flicker out. Like, I felt like this was a moment where like either like I had already considered blowing out the light completely. But this was a moment where I was like, I need to be here. I need to be here. And I felt like this coaching group was going to shine. It was going to pour gasoline on that light. And I needed that. I desperately needed it. I don't know why I needed to be in this particular group, but by the time my hand went from down low up high, I had this flash that, you know what, I am going to be activating men the way that I just got activated right now. I felt like I was activated in that moment. I also said to myself that by the end of this year, I'm going to be working with this company that I'm signing up for. And I'm going to be coaching men, and I'm going to be liberating men. And so that moment, signing up for something that was so beyond my comfort zone, so out of my realm, and so much more expensive than I had anticipated. The night before, I knew it was going to cost money. I was like, Luke, your max is $15,000. Luke, your max is $15,000. And they said 75. And I was like, boom, I'll do it. I was like, what? It didn't make any sense. And I even remember when I walked in and signed the contract and I was like scratching my head, like the regret of my decision made like started coming in. I was like, I don't know about this and I don't know about this. And so like the guy, Nick, he starts pulling the contract away and he's sliding it back. And I reach up and grab the contract. I'm like, no. I'm going to figure this out. I need to be here. So long story short, I went through that coaching program, and by 6 months, they called me what they called a halfer. I was a half member, half staffer. They asked me to be on staff because of the way I showed up. They activated me, and I started fighting. I didn't know what I was fighting for, but I started fighting, and I started doing exactly what they told me. I started being consistent. I started being dedicated. I started journaling. I started meditating. I started working on Luke and making that connection like I wanted, and it started to work and produce results in my life. And I knew that I just need to stay on this path. And eventually by 9 months into that group, one of the coaches from that first initial coaching group went off and started his own coaching company out in Nashville. And he's like, Luke, I want you to be a coach for me. I want you to be my fitness and accountability coach because you're so accountable, consistent, and disciplined. I think you could add a lot of value. I'm like, okay, sounds good. Let's try it. And so I just started saying yes to all these things that seem to bring connection to me, bring purpose to me, and give me the impact that I wanted in my own life and also the effect that I wanted to have on other people's lives. And so that kind of led me down this journey of like, well, wow, now I'm going to be a coach. I need to go and educate myself on how this coaching thing works. So I started to go sign up for other coaching programs and other mentorships and other events and experiences so I could learn how this whole game worked, because it was like a new game for me. I've never done any of this stuff before. So I just had to like learn the rules, learn the players, learn what the strategies are so that I know how to play this. And it took me 2.5 years to get to the point where I'm at now, where I know the rules, I know the players, and I know how I want to play the game. And throughout that whole development of Luke as a human and Luke as a coach and Luke as a man has all come full circle to me wanting to play and launch my own game, which is where we're at today with the Rebel Project. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. And I commend you for your journey. I know it has not been easy. Like truly, Luke, the work that you've done on yourself, even, you know, in our friendship, because our friendship started, I think, you know, right at the beginning of topical steroid withdrawal for us. You know, your topical steroid withdrawal began in March 2019, right? Yeah. And mine also began in March. My round two of TSW began in March of 2019 as well. And I remember like we probably connected, you know, a couple months after that, because, you know, there was actually online community of TSW sufferers, TSW warriors, if you will. And, you know, I remember when we connected back then, you're at such a different place in your journey. And of course, I was as well. And I know that, you know, us talking throughout the years, and I remember, you know, you and I sharing in conversations where we were both so lost, where we're both so deep in the suffering. You know, I remember through round one of my TSW and then again through round two, what it kept feeling like was my body is dying, but I don't know how to die. You know, there's this need of like the body feels like it needs to die. And, you know, the human and soulful journey of that kind of constantly playing on the edge of, I think I'm dying. If this is what the outside of my body looks like, imagine what the inside, you know, like really feeling like I'm always on the edge of a deep death within myself on many different levels. And to hear you hold space right now, to hear all of your growth, to hear all of your coming back into yourself, coming back alive in yourself, coming to that place of what is truly true within yourself. You know, yeah. Witnessing as your friend, you know, as we, you know, every few months we connect in, every few months we have like these deep, wonderful phone calls as we're both navigating our own journey. You know, I remember many times the places that you said where you were at, where I remember very, very tangibly conversations of, you know, you being ready to just give it all up, right? Just to walk away from everything, just to, on that journey of finding Luke is now the most important thing. Finding Luke is a matter literally of like survival for you. And, you know, I know that we've both held space for each other in that place a lot, because again, you know, it's hard for other people to understand the journey of TSW, especially because it is so deep, it is so hard, and you never get a minute off of the TSW journey. You don't get a day of reprieve, you don't get an hour of reprieve. And so to have all of that that you're steeped in and that you're saturated in whilst the divorce process, while the complete dismantling and dissolution of ego, while you're in this, you know, like an onion, the layer after layer after layer of ego deaths that come with, right, the journey of divorce, the journey of nearly constantly what seems to be dying in your body. Uh-huh. I'm just like, just sitting here, you know, really witnessing you and knowing the places that you've been and all that we've shared in over the last few years. It is remarkable to see and feel your strength and your embodiment within yourself and in your embodiment as a man. Yeah, like my heart, my spirit is overjoyed to be able to witness you, to be able to also like share space with you in this way. And yeah, I feel very, very grateful to have you as a friend. Aww. Also, you are such an incredible guest. You are so articulate. You are so well-spoken in all of this. And you are, the passion that you share for me is very, very remarkable. So just, you know, as a woman here on the planet, I am so grateful for men like you who do this inner work, who through the darkest times, as hard as it is, you know, there's all of the stuff that we learn within it. And what I know about you is that you will keep leaning in, you know, the discomfort, the internal war, the external war. You are a man of the caliber who you will lean in. You will lean in and extract the wisdom out of it, extract the gifts out of it, even when it's something that is so long and so dark and so isolating and so painful. Look at you here now, you know, still healing through it. And at the same time, you know, you're very much on the other side of it now. So like, if I could just like high five you real, real hard right now, I would love to do that, you know, and I always want to keep having these, you know, these conversations as the journey continues, because you are brilliant at shining light and awareness and sharing the wisdom that you have internally grown through like the process of gnosis, you know, the process of really experiencing this growth of profound wisdom from inside of yourself and also experiencing it through the body. So I just want to commend you for all the work that you're doing. And now at this place in your journey, you know, because I remember us talking so many times and like, you know, earlier when you were doing these men's coaching programs, you know, when you were the one being coached, and we would connect and like, and hearing your passion on how you want to hold this space for other men. And now that you're at this place of it coming to fruition, I'm so proud of you as a sister in light. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Yeah. It's been, you know, it's been when you're, like I said, when you're in the storm, you don't know the benefit of what the storm is doing to refine you. When you're in the fire, you don't know that the heat is actually shaping you into something new. And so it's a gift if you look at it correctly. And so coming to that place where I was either like, do you end this or do you start creating something new? Like that blank slate or this, like, put it in the trash, like it's done. Very scary, but also liberating place to be. And I'm lucky that I got, you know, plugged into these coaching groups and I was around these men who, you know, were a catalyst of my creativity and tapping into, you know, who Luke is and wants to be and doing that. And another great aspect was like my creative expression. And so in TSW, there was this little competition, just like kind of lighten the mood that Lynette and Sean came up with. And they created this talent show called, The Itch Factor, and they urged me to write a song, and I hadn't done music in a long time. Like the last time I did music was 2009. Here we are almost 10 years later, and they're like, hey Luke, you know, you should write a song or do something. So I made this cover song, wrote lyrics for TSW, and it came out pretty great. It was fun. I did it in my living room. I got obsessed with it. And it was a reminder of something that I loved and a passion that I had and one that I had put away because, like, again, like my attachment of Luke was attached to external things. And so that was one thing that I knew I wanted in my life, music. So I started doing music based off creating that one song and incorporating more and more music in my life. But I realized that I didn't know what, I knew what my voice used to sound like and I didn't like it, but I didn't know what my voice sounded like now. So I created this process that I was going to spend the first year just recording music, cover songs of different artists that I like to explore and find my voice. And when I say my voice, I'm talking about the audible sound. What does Luke's voice sound like now? Because I didn't want to carry on from the past. I needed to create something new. So what does Luke's new voice sound like? So I gave myself a year.
And when was this? When did this begin?
This was like 2019, late 2019. And so this is like 2020, starting 2020, actually. 2020. Yeah, because 2019 is when I started CSW. It was like early 2020. And I joined that. Actually, I joined that mastermind in 2021. So it might have been late 2020 or early 2021 when I really started to go, okay, Luke, give yourself. No, it's 2021 when I said, I'm going to record 10 songs this year. And they're going to be cover songs. And I'm going to do I'm going to find my voice. So what my voice sounds like. Then I said, next year, I'm going to find out what I want to say. I'm going to find my voice. Now I'm going to find out what I want to say. And so I spent 2022 starting to write my own lyrics and starting to work with producers and going, okay, well, how can I convey this feeling from my divorce or this feeling from my breakup or this feeling of what I want, like, you know, this feeling of being bulletproof. And like, you know, I've collaborated with a bunch of producers to write songs. And all of those have been collaborations where I come up with the concept. I come up with some key words and key phrases that I want in it. And then we kind of like they write and then I rewrite. And so that's what I've been doing in 2022. And so it's been a very interesting process. And I've been falling in love with finding my voice, finding what I want to say, and now creating this platform of being able to say it and present it. So it's like, here's the voice, here's the message, now here's the platform. And so it's been a great journey. And I look back on these last 6 years of divorce to Happy Life to TSW to, you know, hitting the rock bottom to jumping into the, like a, being a small fish jumping into a big pond of sharks of all these coaching groups and like having to fight my way to the top and earn the respect of these millionaires and billionaires and high performance men. And then realizing who I was within that process, like that's a gift. And it took me 6 years to get there. And looking back, I've been able, what I'm really good at, what I feel like my superpower is I can take a very complex, difficult, like a lot of information, I can dwindle it down into something that a kindergartner or first grader can understand. And so I can summarize things really well and I feel really clearly. And so I can take that 6 years and my whole process and I can condense it into a 1 year program. So I can save guys 5 years of confusion. And I can still get you the same result. And it's such a gift. It's not like, you know, I want to give this back to guys because it's been so liberating and freeing for me that like, I can't keep this for myself. Like this is like, I would absolutely give myself this program 5 years ago. Absolutely. I'd be in a totally different place in my life right now. And so like looking back, my whole journey has been a gift. And for me to be able to summarize it and put it into a program for 1 year and be able to give that back to men, like just warms my heart. It warms my soul. And it's a certain level of clarity where it's like, I know I'm supposed to be here. I know I'm supposed to do this. Like, this is what I was called to do. And like, there's only so many things in life that you're called to do. like we can do a lot of stuff. And I got lost kind of in that with the whole coaching world. They all, oh, what are you capable of? What can you do? You can always do more. And it's like, yeah, I could always do more. I could always run harder. I could always run faster, but I don't like running. So like I had to figure out, what do I like? And then you kind of like figure out what you like, but then what are you called to do? So I had to realize that all of my life experience had value. And it has value when it's placed in the right trajectory, when it's placed in the right direction. It's fuel for the vehicle of purpose. Yeah. And so when you learn how to tap into that and transform your life experience and your knowledge and your connections and everything into a fuel source, you have an endless amount of fuel to further your passion. And so, or not your passion, your purpose. So that's kind of where I'm at. And that's where I'm very excited about it. And it's a place of, it's this fine line of balancing between faith and fear. Mm-hmm. Faith, it's going to work out. Fear, oh my gosh, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. Right. But I've been working on my balance for 6 years. So I can walk a tightrope now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I might slip. That's okay. But you just with every mistake, there's a message in there for you. And so I've learned, I know myself. And that was been, I think, the biggest lesson overall of the last 6 years is know thyself. I know how I react when I'm rejected. I know how I react when I'm faced with adversity. I know how I react when I'm disconnected. I know how I react when I'm challenged. I know how I react when things are going my way. Like, I know myself. So I'm also the best coach for myself.
Yeah.
And I'm not the only man who deals with these things. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and a lot of what you're sharing, again, I'm a woman in this reincarnation or whatever, but a lot of these things that you're sharing, these are things that typically generally are universal to probably the experience of a lot of men currently on the planet. Right?
I think so.
I'm assuming. I mean, you see, you know, a lot more men intimately than I do. And it sounds as though, you know, what you've created or what you are creating through you going through the fire again and again and again, you know, to me, it's like, I see you and it's like, you're right, a phoenix rising from the ashes, because not only with the journey of TSW, but with the journey of a dismantling a marriage, with, you know, all of these different facets of your journey, the way that you can share and hold space, encourage, motivate, and coach other men at this time, it sounds like you've created an expedited pathway to literally have a man or have men hop timelines. That's the best way that I can put it. You know, like even for people that come to me for their help, it's like, hey, you can go spend the next 7 years and probably, you know, $50,000 trying to figure out your health, or, you know, come to a person like me and I can take you from where you are to where you want to be extremely fast. Right. And that ability to be able to help somebody hop timelines in the way that you can help a man hop timelines, you're going to save him pain. You're going to save them. I mean, you're going to save them so much of the hard parts of the journey, and instead just streamline them as gracefully as possible into the manhood, the mandom that they truly actually desire inside. Right. And like that time that's saved, that means that if we can hop into that next timeline, into that higher frequency version of ourselves, into that next station of identity for ourselves, you think of all of the opportunities that happen once you're in that new timeline, all of the connections, all of the people, all of the choices, like literally everything in your life changes. It's not like just your masculinity and your manhood changes. It's like, no, literally every part of your life begins to shift. Right.
Yeah.
And it's so valuable to actually have somebody that has embodied that, not just somebody who like is mentally capable of thinking it and understanding it and speaking it, but somebody that's actually embodied like yourself, where you can just be like, you know, like I got you. This is the path, and this path works. Right. And this path isn't just like Luke's idea of like, this is what you need. It sounds like the path is of holding space for people to go through that inner journey and to reach their own internal guidance.
Yeah. And as you're speaking, you know, it's, I'm thinking about, you know, again, I said the marketing part is hard because guys don't like to admit they're lost. And then when they do admit right? they're lost, when they do admit they're lost, I have to convince them to walk through the fire voluntarily. If you had told me that I had to go through TSW to come to this point, I don't know if I would have stepped on that boat.
You had no choice but to step on the boat.
I had no choice. So, but I mean, think about though, that's the dilemma of like, you know, really like being a catalyst for change for other men is I have to convince them to walk through the fire. And when life is comfy and hunky-dory and everything's going seemingly well, yeah, you experience a disconnect. It's hard to communicate that, look, trust me, walk through this fire for 1 year. And the rest of your life will be better. The next 10 years will be absolutely different. Like you will be connected. Like, but that's the process. And so the marketing aspect is really challenging. But like, again, like if you had told me, oh, Luke, you got to go through this TSW thing to get to what you want.
Yeah.
You know, so my backup plan, if guys don't do my program, I'm just going to give them steroids and tell them to use them for 3 years and go, all right. Now you're going to have to do it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But
well, question for you, you know, like hearing that, how do you market this well to men? Because again, men can be a little stubborn, maybe. Men can be a little bit resistant. Men often, from my experience, don't really want another man or often anybody illuminating their path because they want to figure it out in their own way. They don't want to be told, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
If I can generalize that. But right. So obviously, I mean, I want to talk with you about what is on the other side of this work for men. But first, let's talk about if men don't lean into the fire, if men don't actively choose to do this inner work that is so necessary, not just for them, but like as a woman, the internal work that men are here to go through is necessary for the women. You know, it's like we need this space held. We need men to go through the fire so that they can be deeply good, embodied, integral men. You know, like women, in order for our healing, in order for our embodiment, in order for us to do what we are here for, we're not supposed to do it on our own. We are supposed to do it with strong, embodied, integral men, you know? But for men, if they don't lean into that fire, if they don't take that hero's journey within themselves, what happens for men who are like, nah, thanks, no thanks. I'll do it on my own. Or thanks, no thanks. Like I got this. I'm fine. I'm, you know, I'm coping. I'm, you know, a bit complacent in my life or whatever, but it's like, I'm okay. What happens when people don't take that journey? Like, what are the unintended consequences? What is that path? You know, is it disconnection? Is it sexual addictions? Is it other forms of addictions? Is it not really knowing yourself? Is it staying more superficial and selfish within yourself and shallow? Like, what do you see is the short-term and long-term consequences for men who don't actually want to do the inner work that everybody is called to do?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a big question. You know, disconnection, the feeling of disconnection feels different for every person, for every man. But if you continue going on without truly knowing yourself, what tends to happen and what I see with most men that I coach is that they take on the emotional burden of everybody else and push their own feelings aside. And they don't know how to deal with their own feelings. So they end up numbing them, running from them, or avoiding them with sedation. And sedation comes in many forms. It could be alcohol. It can be substances such as smoking weed. It could be tuning out and playing games like, you know, video gaming. It can be pornography. It can be any other type of addiction or, you know, supposed recreation that you just run to when you don't know how to deal with what's going on inside. And so that turmoil becomes exhausting. And so you either hit two places in life, boredom or burnout. You've achieved everything in your life, seemingly on paper. You got your money, you got your job, you got your family, but it just still doesn't feel the way you thought it would feel. And the reason is because it's that attachment to accomplishment. It's attachment to identity, to oh, well, I got everything I wanted, and it was, you know, and there's also this mentality that a lot of men have that there's a finish line. And, oh, once I just do this, everything's going to be better. If I just make $1 million, it's going to be better. If I just get a wife and 3 kids and I have my property, it's going to be better. What's going to be better? If you're always looking out, whatever is behind your eyes is never going to be better. You have to look in. You have to look at the mirror. And so that's what needs to be better. But they think it's all out. So they try and fix everything externally. And again, like I said, the fuel source for that runs out. It's like a candle that's only like a few inches tall versus being tapped into a gas line. So they will hit a point where they're gonna be scratching their head going, why is nothing working? Why is it not playing out or feeling the way that I want it to? And things will suffer. If they're in a relationship, they'll notice that they're not intimate with their wife very often, that they don't connect and communicate or create intimacy with their wife or create that space. They don't know how to create that space for themselves. Their kids will oftentimes be a stress for them rather than a joy for them. The family dynamic, it'll feel very heavy. All I am is a provider. Like, you'll question your role because you don't know what it is and you haven't decided that's what you want. You know, most men have a really tough time answering the question, what do you want? We're so used to pushing our needs aside for others because of these perceived roles we're supposed to play. And a lot of guys don't realize they're playing these roles because they're supposed to, or they're obligated to, or it's expected of them. Choose the role you want in life. Carve your own fucking path. It's harder to chop down your own path and create that path for yourself than it is to walk behind someone else. And most men get exhausted and they don't have the work capacity or the patience or the discipline to keep chopping down their own path. They just look at everyone else moving really fast. But those guys have done the work. They don't understand that those guys have done the work. So they've created the path so they can run back and forth on it and do that. But that's their path. You have to chop down yours. And it's a hard pill to swallow, but like, I believe everyone is going to hit that moment in their life, that crux point where they're going to have to be like, okay, I'm in the valley and I need to get up to the top, to the peak, to figure out where I'm at so I can see where I want to go next. Cause yeah. I think a lot of guys don't dream big enough. And when they hit everything on their bucket list, they hit all their dreams and they hit all their goals. They haven't looked at what the next step is. And so then they just kind of settle with, yeah, I did it all. I don't know what to do now. So they just exist and they fall into this routine and this default thinking. And, you know, you kind of create your own personal Groundhog's Day in hell.
Yeah.
Is what I feel and what I see from most men that I talk to. So.
Yeah. No.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah. No, well, absolutely. You know, that not doing the work is still a choice, right? Like, that it's a choice, it's on the table. And although doing the work is not easy, although it's hard, it's still easier than not doing the work, right? Like, in the way, like when you're really looking at the long term of it, yeah, doing the work is hard, but not doing it, that's a whole other type of hard. That's a whole other type of hard that will deplete you and suck your soul and take you further and further down a path that you don't want to be in. And, you know, 10 miles in, 10 miles out, the longer that we're on that path of not knowing self and not doing the work within self. Yeah. Right. So.
Yeah. And going back to like what you were talking about with the feminine and the masculine, like, I think that's a very deep concept for a lot of guys and just humans in general to understand, but it's kind of like positive and negative energy, and you need it to create an electrical current. And so when you do create a union between a masculine and a feminine, there's a synergy and a harmony that happens. And, you know, studies have shown that like when a man or even a female are by themselves, their cells are always like this, like vibrating and shaking because there's a sense of disconnect. There's a sense of stress all the way down to the cellular level. And when you get close to another human being, your cells calm down and become like still. And so there's a peace, there's a harmony just based off the proximity. Now, if you pair that with a mental connection and a physical connection on top of like emotional, and you find someone that you're paired with and you've been working on yourself, raising that masculinity within yourself, and it's not inflated by ego, it's based off who you truly are and stepping into that and honoring it. Like, I feel like masculinity is planted within every man, but they have to choose to water it, and it has to grow. And the more it grows, the more fruit it will produce, and it can get stronger, but they have to acknowledge it, respect it. And it's a very sensitive plant. It'll shrink up real quick, but it'll also grow to be one of the most fruit producing things in your life, and that will bless your relationships with friends, when you're hanging out with other masculine men who feed it, that grow that root even stronger by being around men who have equal values and principles. And then when you're around a woman, it will nurture it, and it will it almost calls it to grow faster. It almost calls it to grow bigger. And the connection is so, it's just, I don't know. It's just a beautiful, harmonious thing. And like I said, like before, 6 years ago, when I was in my previous marriage, like I felt like I do really well in a partnership. And I think a lot of guys know that about themselves, and being in a partnership is great, but to be aware that connection is based off the masculine and feminine energy syncing up together. Now you've got this voltage that is there. And it's a totally different experience knowing that, oh yeah, I'm just a good partner. We have these roles, and it's all this external, like cosplay of a relationship, if you will, versus truly honoring what a man is supposed to do in a relationship and what a female is supposed to do in a relationship just by simply being themselves. If that makes any sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. I feel you entirely. How you're speaking of, the electricity of it, the voltage of it, to know that, the man is the divine electric and the feminine is the divine magnetic. So, right, we are supposed to come together and we are supposed to sink into each other to create this coherent electromagnetic current and circuitry between us, right? And like you said, like a cosplay of a relationship, a cosplay of a marriage that... Yeah, I feel like we're in a dismantling also of inauthentic marriages, of creating this divine inner union within us. And then also, through a wholesome healed feminine embodiment and a wholesome healed masculine embodiment, we can actually come together and create like physical sacred unions together. And I feel like that's some of the larger spiritual work that we have at this time, because in that way of, you or any man that's doing this internal work and really embodying and cultivating with the safe, strong spiritual masculine is with the qualities of protection and provision and security, and then what a female within that container can bring also. It's like we are here to amplify the male, to pour into the male as the male pours into the woman, and we create this very coherent symbiotic relationship that is absolutely divine. And in order for us to cultivate this within ourselves and then within our partnerships, right, it takes both people doing that deepest of inner work. And so incredible, again, incredible that you are holding the space for men to do this, because you have and continue to embody this within your own self. So my question for you, and especially for our male listeners, and also for all of our female listeners who have men in their life, whether it is their brothers, their sons, their partners, their fathers, when men do this inner work, what are the benevolent consequences of it? What do you see, like, the qualities in men that begin to grow and anchor and flourish? And what does it do for their lives? You know, because we just talked about really the pain points of what happens when we don't do this work. It's an option to not do it. It's not a good option, right? It's like this. Right. We know that all of these different pains and dysfunctions in form of internal and external long-term suffering will come from us not doing the work, right? Same thing, yeah, with our health. Same thing also within the feminine female embodiment. But what is on the other side of this work for the men who will listen to that internal call and be like, okay, I know it's my path. It's maybe not the path that I want. Maybe it's not the path that looks attractive to me right now. Maybe I don't want another man holding space for me or guiding me or helping me, like, pull apart my insides. But what's on the other side of the deep, painful work of all of it?
Yeah, that's a huge question. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is definiteness of purpose. And when you have definiteness of purpose, and you, your sense of belonging is tied to who you are and what you do every day, nothing else matters. You have this laser clarity on what's important to you. You know how to make decisions. It's really clear what boundaries you have in your life, and you protect what you want and who you are. And when you start doing this work on yourself, you become like living water. And, you know, Bruce Lee has always said, be like water and you flow, right? And I've always looked at that as like, just flow around obstacles. Don't let anything get in your way. You're just water. You flow around obstacles. But if you take water and you put it in any type of situation, and you, let's say you go into a desert, or let's say a barren area, and you bring water and you create an abundance of it, what tends to happen? Life comes to water. Animals come to water to nourish their bodies. Plants start to grow because of water. So when you tap into that definiteness of purpose and who you are, and you lean into it, you become a life source for other people, and you give permission to other people. And, like, you know, talking about lost men, they won't ask for directions until they see a man walk into the gas station and then come out with a map, and they'll be like, oh, well, he did it. I can do it. And so you give permission for other people to be themselves, honor their own creativity, their own uniqueness, and your connections. Like, you know, when you do the work, your connections with your wife, you'll release the tension and you'll add harmony, right? If you play like a C chord or a C note and then a B sharp, they clash, right? But if you play a C and an E, there's a beautiful harmony that goes on, and those two notes can work together. And so that, you take out the dissonance, you take out the tension, because now you're giving your wife permission, or your partner permission, to just be. You aren't responsible for her happiness. She's not responsible for yours. But you know, she has seen, what I see is when partners watch their man do the work, women tend to test them. They go, oh yeah, so you're going to change? Yeah, just like you were going to fix the garage 6 months ago? Like, whatever. And so they test you, and they'll go, oh, and they'll poke at all your holes until you fill them up. And then when you become solid, when you become grounded, when you become secure, and they poke and they can't find anything, then they go, ah, now I'm secure, because he is. Mm. And there's and it works both ways. It works both ways. If a woman does the work, it can affect the man as equally as the man doing the work first. But it releases that tension, and it creates a peace in your relationships, within yourself, and in a harmony that is just pleasing. It's like living in a life with a white noise versus living life in a symphony. it's both sound and it's both, you know, you can still live the same way, but one of them's just like got you on edge and the other one's just got you flowing through peace. And so that's what's on the other side of doing the work, walking through the fire and, honoring yourself, knowing yourself, knowing your purpose, respecting your body and honoring your relationships.
How would you, thank you for that. That was, you know, a really, really good visual and, you know, to feel again, like that coherence between partners when we're doing the work. What would you say for gentlemen who don't actually have a partner in their life, yet they know that they want to call in a partner? What about for these men?
Ooh. So I started calling in my partner 6 months before I met her by working on myself. And I had a great conversation with a friend of mine, Kellen. And I asked him how he met his wife. And he said it was just like, you know, like it was just divine intervention. And it just happened. And he prayed for it. It happened the way exactly like he prayed for it. And he had done a lot of work on himself. He said he dated God for 6 months and he would go on walk and talks with God. And he was like, God, reveal to me like who I'm supposed to be with. Like, you know, and whether it's God or, you know, another type of belief that you believe in, he really just took time for himself. He said he would take himself out on dates and go and have like dinners on his own. And he would really just try to tap into what his partner felt like, not look like. It wasn't external, like, oh, she's got to have blonde hair, blue eyes, and tan skin. Like, no, it was like, what does my partner feel like? What are we going to talk about? How is she going to make me feel? How am I going to make her feel? And he would meditate on this and pray on this and dream about this and journal on this. And he got really, really clear. And he said one time he had a vision that he was walking with God and God led him through this forest and led him through this passage of bushes. And there were these figures of light flying just beyond the bushes. And so he walked through and he couldn't see their faces. He couldn't see any features, but he knew that one of them was his wife and he had two kids. And two of them were kids. And he knew what it felt like when he walked through the bushes and he was in the presence of those light sources. He knew what that felt like. And when he met his wife, it was the same feeling. And he saw this before it happened. So I would encourage men to not seek a partner out of desperation or need or lack, but focus on how to shine your light brighter, because that person who finds you beyond the bushes is going to know how it feels when they find you. And you need to understand what you're feeling sense of peace and harmony. What chords do you like? Like some people might be looking for an E and they're a C, but you need to know who you are. You need to know what note you are in order to know what harmony you work with. So I might be a C, some other guy might be a D. We harmonize with different things. So you got to know what note you are. So know yourself and then do the work to know what harmony you want. Do you want a third? Do you want a fifth? Do you want a seventh? Do you want what kind of chord brings peace and harmony to you? And if you don't know that, you'll settle for anything. So you got to do that work and get clear on what you want and what works with you, because there is a design at play.
Yeah.
Whether you want to admit it or not.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you. And from, if I can share from a woman's perspective, the more that, right, that inner work happens, the more that we clarify ourselves through the fire, right? Through the fire of the internal journey, through the fire of leaning in and doing all of the internal work that we're talking about, you know, for me, there's just so much value in doing this internal clearing, you know, so that when we do meet that mate who we are in beautiful resonance with, right? Energetically, spiritually, emotionally, even physically, that all of the work that we do previous to that is of the utmost value. You know, it's like the men who are doing the work who don't have partners yet, it's like you're cultivating the foundation energetically within yourself so that when you do meet your partner, you are so much more ready to lean into her and her into you in a healthful way, right? In a way where it's like we can really support each other. We can truly love each other with less shit under the rug, less gunk in the way, less incoherence. That the value of doing the work, it's invaluable, right? It's absolutely priceless. And
we joke in the coaching group, that community, like it's life changing. And it's like, that's an easy phrase to say, but it's like, it is true, but it's hard to articulate what exactly that means, but it does change the trajectory of your life in all aspects.
Yeah. It changes what your life looks like, sounds like, feels like it literally changes everything about your internal world. And when your internal world changes, everything in your external world changes, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So I know we both got busy days and we need to wrap up soon. So what is the greatest advice you feel in your heart, your soul, your mind right now, to share with any men who are listening?
It's the pillars of the Rebel Project. Know thyself, know thy purpose. Respect and honor your body.
Yeah.
And respect and honor your relationships. Be prepared at all times and be willing to answer the call.
Be prepared at all times and be willing to answer the call. And I want you to share with me, you over the last couple of years that we've talked, you've always shared with me the three things that you internally are seeking that obviously are arriving into your life now. And I am so happy with you and I'm so happy for you. You know what the three are.
You're putting me to the test right now. You're testing my memory. It's like my weakest attribute.
I can remember two of them. The third one's escaping me. You're looking for things. An adventure and a beauty and...
Oh.
In a battle. Was that
Yeah.
Like those were the things that were important to you in your journey as a man over this last, 2 years is what comes to mind for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Every man is looking for a battle to fight, a beauty to fight for, and an adventure to go on. So those three things, but like the fight has to have meaning. Like what's the point of just getting to do a bar brawl, right? What are you fighting for? That's when you're unstoppable. A story that like just comes up into mind is like David and Goliath. David was a 14-year-old kid that stepped out to fight a giant because he felt like the giant disrespected his belief system. And David was so mad that this giant and this army had disrespected God and his belief system that he went out and he flung a rock to knock out this giant. And the story has also been told that he had four other rocks in his pocket because Goliath had four brothers. And he was ready to take them all out because his conviction of protecting his belief and that reason to fight. So that just goes back to like, fight your battle, but know the reason. Have a cause. And then there's always a beauty. You have to win your beauty. You're queen. Like there's nothing better than having a partner like that to support you and go with you and refine you and challenge you. And it's actually a blessing to have them poke your gaps because they expose what you need to work on. And most men are like, oh, stop, she's always nagging. Yeah, because you got some holes, bro. And then life is an adventure. We are all men. We like to jump off things, build things, break things, and, go fast. So lean into all those aspects.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That's perfect ending for us here, I feel. I always appreciate you so very much. Tell everybody, where is our best way to connect with you? And how do we learn more about your year-long program for men?
Yeah. So you can contact me on Instagram. I have a couple of Instagrams. The coaching one and my personal life one is at The Fit Model, based off what I do on The Fit Model. So The Fit Model is on Instagram. My other TSW one is at Luke Jacobsma. And then for the coaching program, that is therebelproject.org. And if anybody who signs up before June 17th, you get an amazing deal on Founders pricing. I really think founders and early adopters are special. And so I have a special program designed for them and special pricing designed for them. And anybody who joins after that will be regular price. They still get a year-long membership, but it's going to be substantially more if you join after June 17th.
Amazing. Amazing. And then I'm assuming that you're going to be running these programs annually.
Yeah. So, I've got 48 weeks of curriculum. So every week I have a different topic. Every quarter we're working on a specific theme. So the first quarter is build the body. Second quarter is build the mind. Third quarter is build the man. And fourth quarter is build the plan. And then year two is 2.0. So now we go into the deeper stuff. So first I got to get you clear. Then I got to get you results. So it is a process. And once you get in it, you'll see it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm beautiful. Excited. When is everybody's latest day to enroll with you? Like, when does your program actually start?
June 17th.
June 17th
is the first event that we're going to have in Orange County. And then it officially starts July 1st officially.
Okay. Amazing. So. Amazing. Yeah. Okay. Well, everybody, we can find all of the links in the show notes for everybody to connect with you. And of course, Luke, want you on the show again. You know, let's not wait another 4 years. Let's do it sooner than that. And I'm so looking forward to being on your podcast as well. And I'll make sure to once we've got that episode live, I'll make sure that I update the show notes on this episode so people can come and listen to our conversation over on your podcast as well. So is there anything else that you want to close with?
Just thank you for being such a good listener and a good host and rocking a good conversation. This has been fun.
It's always a pleasure connecting with you. It's always a pleasure holding space for conversations with you. And also, like, from the deepest parts of my heart, thank you for all the times that you've held space for me in my journey. It's always a pleasure and an honor to know you and a privilege to have you on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon. And huge love to you, Luke, and you know, for loving that, you know, you're in a great, healthy relationship now, loving that everything is absolutely on track for you and you're doing the greatest work. So thank you.
Of course.
Okay, great. Well, we'll see everybody in the next episode.
Sounds good. Be there.